I wonder what your goal is in the Christian life. I wonder when you take a stock of your Christian life and you say to yourself, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder what your number one goal in your Christian life is. Can I suggest this to you? In fact, it's not my suggestion. It is the scripture that tells us this, that the goal of the Christian life should be to know Jesus more and more. That is something that we should all be aiming for. In our last hymn, in the last verse, we sang about our love for Christ. And we sang, it was actually a prayer, that last verse of the last hymn, because it said, I want to love him more. I want to grow in my love for Christ. Now, how can we grow in our love for Christ? How can we love him more? It's by knowing him more. As we know him more, so we will love him more, because he is the altogether lovely one. Christ is utterly lovable. Christ is utterly wonderful. Christ is utterly glorious. There are no issues with him that are negative. There's nothing, any kind of wrong in him. Everything in him is perfect and lovely and wonderful. And so the more we get to know him, the more we love him. So the goal of the Christian life is to know Christ. Now the question then of course comes, well, how do we know Christ? How do we grow in our knowledge of Christ? And the answer actually is quite simple. How do you grow in your knowledge of anybody? Well, you grow in your knowledge of a person by listening to them. You know, someone comes to the church for the first time. And you shake their hands and welcome them. But of course we don't know them at all. They've come for the first time, they're a visitor. But then over coffee afterwards, you go and speak to them and you ask questions. Lovely to see you here. Where have you come from? Are you on holiday or do you live locally? And so on. And as they give their answers and you listen to their words, you grow in your knowledge of them. How do we grow in our knowledge of Christ? By listening to his words. Well, this morning I'm going to focus in on three statements recorded in this passage that Jesus spoke on the cross. In this passage there are three statements of his, and they're found in verses 26 and 27, where he says to John, behold your son, and he says to Mary, behold your son, and he says to John, behold your mother. And then the second statement in verse 28, I thirst. And then the third statement in verse 30, it is finished. We're going to be looking at those three statements, and we're going to appreciate and understand the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just say this as we begin this study? Please remember when these words were uttered. They were uttered when Jesus was in the depth of his suffering. These are not uttered in a kind of a normal environment, in a normal day-to-day conversation. The Lord Jesus Christ is crucified. He is hanging on the cross. Our sins have been laid upon him. And he's suffering torture and torment on account of our sins. The wrath of God is being poured out upon him. The punishment of the law of God is being poured out upon him. And he is being abandoned of God. Because he who knew no sin became sin for us. And in the depths of these sufferings, he utters these words. So we're going to look at those three statements and what they reveal about Christ. The first statement then is this. He says to John, he says to Mary, woman, behold your son. And he says to John, behold your mother. What do we learn about Christ from this? Well, we learn this about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is a compassionate and a merciful Savior. He is a compassionate and a merciful Savior. At the point where he is at the depth of his suffering, at the point where he is literally suffering the torment of hell. Because remember, hell is the place where God abandons those who have remained in their sin. And God separates himself from those who have remained in their sin for eternity. They do not know the presence of God. They do not know the love of God and the mercy of God. They do not know the fellowship of God and the comforts of God. They're abandoned in hell. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was abandoned on the cross because he who knew no sin became sin for us. And the Father turned his face away because the Father is holy and the Father cannot look upon sin. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, suffering the torments of hell, yet looks at his mother and knows that he must provide for his mother. He's not feeling sorry for himself. He's not saying, I don't have time to think of others. Here I am suffering. But he thinks of his mother and he thinks of who's going to look after his mother. It's an interesting question because he had other brothers. How come he didn't ask his other brothers? Well, we don't know, and there's no point in speculating. We do know he says to John, behold your mother. And he says to his mother, behold your son. In the depths of his suffering, he considers others. In the depths of his suffering, he has compassion and mercy on others, on those who have need. And so you see here something of the depth of his love and his mercy and his compassion upon his people. Are you in need today? Do you feel weak today? Do you feel the strains of life, the anxieties of life, the problems of life crowding in upon you? And do you say to yourself, I feel so lonely, I feel so alone. We looked in the family talk. One of the problems we human beings have, and this wasn't of course about us Christians, but those who are not Christians, they are alone. Because they have been separated from God. But I want to say to you that you have a Savior who is seated at the right hand of heaven, seated at the right hand of God. And he knows your concerns. And he knows what you're going through. He knows your needs. And his heart goes out to you. If his heart could go out to his mother while he was on the cross, well, surely when he's in his glory, his heart goes out to you. Now you may say to me, yes, that's all very well, but this was his mother. There was a special relationship here. Of course he had to care for his mother. And so this is a special case. Well, I want to remind you of some words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. Do you remember that occasion when he was teaching? And some people came to him and they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside. Now please listen to the words of the Lord Jesus at that point. Who is my mother? And who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. So yes, in one sense, it is a special case that she is his mother, and of course he must care for her. But in another sense, she isn't greater in his sight than we are, in the sense that when we have need, that he says, well, there are others who have a greater need than you, or others who have a greater place in my heart than you do. We are all his people. We are all people for whom he died. We are all people whom he has purchased. We are all people whom he is preparing for heaven. He cares for his people. There is in this passage a revelation of the depth of the compassion of Christ, the mercy of Christ, and the love of Christ. I've been meditating much on this week, and it has struck me. Here is the suffering Savior. Here is the Savior on the cross. And he thinks of others. And his heart goes out to others. And I think of my Savior at the right hand of the Father. And I think to myself, well, surely his heart goes out to me as well. So the first thing that we learn about Christ here is how compassionate, how gracious, how merciful he is to his people. And I urge you, meditate more on this. Read the words of Christ. The Gospels are full of the words of Christ. Read the words of Christ and see how they reveal his mercy and his compassion. Get to know him more. Get to know more of the depth of his mercy and compassion, and you will love him more. The prayer that we uttered in singing that last verse, well, we will be fulfilling the answer to that prayer because we will get to know him more and therefore love him more. So the first thing we see in this passage is the mercy, the compassion, the love of Christ for his people. Woman, behold your son. And then we move on to the second thing that Jesus says. And this is, of course, in verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. Now, as John says in his gospel, this was to fulfill the scripture, because there's a prophecy in Psalm 69 and verse 12, and that prophecy was all about Christ. The whole of Psalm 69 is about the sufferings of Christ. David in that psalm speaks about his sufferings, and they all point forward to the sufferings of Christ. And David speaks about how he is thirsty, and they give him bitter wine to drink. And so John says, this is a fulfillment of that prophecy. But there is more to it than that here. Yes, there is the fulfillment of that prophecy. But this surely indicates to us and reveals to us the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is fully human. Christ is as human as we are human. Every emotion that we have, Christ has. Every experience that we go through, Christ went through. There was nothing to shield him from the distresses of life. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ lived here on this earth 33 years, it wasn't as if he was somehow shielded from all the worries of life and the anxieties of life. He was somehow above all these things. I know that when we look at European art, particularly based on the Bible, and if they have a scene from the Gospels where they have Jesus, and this is why I don't like these pictures of Christ, because they always represent Jesus Christ as somehow above others, as somehow not human, but above humanity. And he always has blonde hair and white face and a halo over him and this sort of glowing view of him, as if he's somehow not human. He's sort of angelic. Do you know, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ looked like everyone else. When Judas wanted to betray Jesus, and he was in a group of people, Judas doesn't say to his betrayers, the one who's got blonde hair and a white face and a halo over his face and glowing clothes, he is the one you want, go and arrest him. Judas had to do something that was actually very difficult. He had to go up and kiss Jesus in order to mark out who he was. He looked like all the others. Judas couldn't say he's the one who looks totally different. He didn't look different. And this is again an indication to us of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ became fully human. He was fully man. He went through all the experiences of life. Why did Jesus Christ become fully human? Well, there are two reasons. And the first reason is this: he became fully human in order to be a perfect substitute for us. When he hung upon that cross, our sins were laid upon him, and he paid the penalty for our sins. And the only way he could pay the penalty for our sins is to be fully human. He had to suffer as a human being in order to release human beings. He had to pay the penalty for sin as a human being in order to secure forgiveness for human beings. He had to shed his blood as a human being in order to redeem human beings from the slavery to sin. He had to be fully human. He had to suffer as any human being would suffer, as you and I would suffer, in order to be a substitute for us. Otherwise, his offering would not have been acceptable. And so he became fully human in order to be our substitute. But also, he was fully human in order to be our great high priest. Today he sits at the right hand of the Father. And today his people go to him in prayer. And today we seek him in our worries, in our anxieties, in our distresses. And the Lord Jesus Christ understands everything that we go through because he went through it. As a human being, he went through all the issues of life. So he can't say, well, I think I understand what you're going through, but you know, I never had to go through this. You know, imagine if the king came for a visit to Clevedon, and a person who was born in poverty and raised in poverty and has a terrible life because of poverty and has never been able to make much of their life, has an audience with the king. And he speaks to the king and he says to the king, I want to tell you about my life. Now, with the best will in the world, the king can't say, I know exactly what you're going through. I know exactly how this all feels. He can't say that. But the Lord Jesus can. Because the Lord Jesus was fully human and experienced all the issues of life here on earth as a human being. I remind you of some verses that I quoted last week from Hebrews chapter 4. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us, but one who was tested in every way, just as we are. And we can therefore go to him in time of need and find grace and help. So when the Lord Jesus says, I hunger, well, it's an indication of his humanity. He is the sympathetic Savior who knows what we go through. And then the third and final thing that he says in this passage, and this, of course, is in verse 30. And he says, well, the Bible says, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. It is finished. We had a lovely family talk. You have an issue with medical things. Well, you call a doctor. You have a fire. You call a fireman. But you don't have one person who fixes everything. And as Mike pointed out in that family talk, we have major, major issues as people here on earth, as human beings, in sin. We have issues that sin has brought us. We are guilty because of our sin. We are slaves because of our sin. We are unclean because of our sin. We're under the anger of God because of our sin. We're alienated from God because of our sin. We're headed for hell because of our sin. All these issues that sin has brought upon every human being on the face of this earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he uttered these words, it is finished. He was saying, I have dealt with every issue, and I have dealt with every issue fully. Not one of it is left half done. We as human beings, we are guilty in the sight of God, and Christ has paid the penalty for our sin. He has dealt with our guilt, all of it. We as human beings are slaves of sin, and Christ has shed his blood that we might be redeemed from slavery to sin. We as human beings are unclean in the sight of God, and Christ has shed his blood that we might be cleansed in his blood and therefore be clean in the sight of God. We as human beings are under the wrath of God, and Christ is the propitiation, because when he hung upon that cross, the wrath of God was poured out upon him, and he fully took all of the wrath of God and has dealt with all of it. We as human beings are alienated and separated from a holy God, but Christ has shed his blood that we might be brought nigh, that we might be reconciled to God the Father through his blood. We as human beings are headed for hell and eternity in hell, but Christ has dealt with our sin and dealt with the consequences of our sin. So we now have a real hope of heaven. It is a perfect salvation. It is a complete salvation. Everything that sin has brought, Christ has dealt with it. All the issues that sin has raised, Christ has dealt with them, and Christ has secured a complete, a total, a perfect salvation. It is finished. If you are a Christian here this morning, you have every reason to rejoice. As we gather around the Lord's table this morning, think about the cross and think about what Jesus has done for us. Take hold of one of the things that he has done, because he did so many things on the cross. Think about forgiveness, for example, and think about your sins and how all your sins have been forgiven. Or think about the fact that you were at one time a slave of sin, and Christ has redeemed you from slavery to sin. You're no longer a slave of sin, but you are now freed and a child of God. Or think about the wrath of God, how you are under the anger, the holy and just anger of God, and Christ has dealt with that wrath, and you are no longer under his wrath because it has been turned aside. These wonderful works of God, of Christ, on the cross of Calvary, on behalf of his people. It is a perfect salvation, a complete salvation. And so if you're a Christian here this morning, you have every reason to rejoice. You have every reason to bring thanks to God with a full heart. He has secured your salvation. And if you've never been a Christian, never been born again, and these things are just words to you, well, I say to you, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to you this morning. And he says, come to me. All who are weary and heavy laden, all who are guilty and unclean and in slavery and under the anger of God and alienated from God and headed for hell, come to me, he says, and I will give you rest. I will give you salvation. I will grant you forgiveness and cleansing and redemption and remove the anger of God and reconcile you to the Father and take you to heaven. Come to me, he says. He offers salvation fully. He offers it freely, graciously. You don't need to earn it. You don't need to do anything good in order to be worthy of it. It is a free offer. Come and you will be saved. What a wonderful gospel we have for a lost world. Christ, the compassionate Savior. Christ, the perfect Savior, fully human. And Christ, the complete Savior, who has dealt with all our sins. Praise the Lord for his great gift.